if you have some mental health concerns, if you feel hopeless, helpless, and carry some guilt and shame, it is highly advisable for you to contact a mental health helpline in your country of residence. Or better still, go to see your primary health care provider, like a GP, and share with them how you feel. But if you feel so distressed before, during, or after this program, call your local emergency line. For example, in Australia, this is 000, and in America, is 911.
And remember, God loves you, and so do we.
Next station, Adventist Reflections.
Now, to discuss character building ideas, here is your host, Dr. Danzy.
Hi family, this is Dr. Danzy. Welcome back to one of our biblical psychology episodes. I feel that it's like a long time since we have done one, and that is because it's only monthly. Anyhow, today we have a special guest, Alyssa from the Running Towards Recovery blog and YouTube channel. Go to our description box on our podcast so that you can actually check out her social media and start following her so that you can find benefits out of her amazing journey today. If you remember from our last episode, we talked about discussing today the idea of anxiety and Christianity. Can somebody be a Christian and also be anxious? And that came from one of our followers on our social media. So if you have any questions related to mental health, a specific diagnosis, and how they might mingle or mix with Christianity, I would love to hear from you so that we can do more interviews or perhaps just have some interpersonal reflections on the topic. So without further ado, I would like to introduce you to Alyssa and listen to this interview. I had a lot of fun and got so much out of it, and I hope that you do too. Thank you. Goodbye for now. All right. Well, thank you so much. I have here in the Adventist Reflections podcast, Alyssa Goodyear. And Alyssa has been running this really cool blog and recently also a YouTube channel. This will be on the channel. And it's called the Running Toward Recovery blog. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Great. So I invited Alyssa to talk about this stuff, about her journey rather, and her experience, because I think that I personally have been benefited from seeing her perspective. You know, as a clinician, as a psychologist, sometimes we get embedded into our own little worlds trying to help our patients, and we forget the other side of the story. And I think the other side of the story has a lot more value than any of the textbooks and the years of training that we have, because without that, we can do very little. Obviously, the program that we have here that I'm trying to present to our audience, Alyssa, is related to Christianity and mental health, which is an aspect that I feel we have forgotten somehow and in our practice. Well, rather the aspect of spirituality and religiosity. And obviously within spirituality and religiosity, we have Christianity, and I believe you're a Christian, and so that's the reason of that's how this becomes a bit relevant. But before I think that I shouldn't say what you do and who you are, I would like you to tell us who you are. So Alyssa, tell us, what do you do?
Okay, so I'm 18, I'm going to college soon, but right. I have the blog that you said. I have a website, and the Instagram's the main like blog platform. I started a YouTube channel, and I'm gonna try to post on it more because it's summer, but with school that's been a lot like inconsistent lately, but I want to start making that more consistent. Right. But anyway, I focus around mental health, my journey, and like recovery, and just being encouraging to others, and I just kind of like put quotes out there And I just hope to make a positive impact in people's lives. And I also put elements of Christianity in it and how I use my faith to help me get through my mental health issues.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for sharing that, Alyssa. I can tell that you have been making an impact just from comments that I have seen other people leave.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So tell me something. One of the questions that I always ask the people that I interview is, in your opinion, what do you see, if there is any, as a link between psychology and Christianity, between the Bible and psychology, between mental health, if you want to call it, and the Bible? Do you see that there is a link of any kind or not? Do they go together or are they at opposite directions?
I think they can go together, definitely. One of my favorite statistics is that God and the Bible says, do not be afraid or do not fear or something like that, right, over 365 times. And that's one for every day. And I just love hearing that. And it's just something like, he obviously knows that people are going to be afraid about things, or they're going to be anxious. In that way, definitely. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So what I'm hearing is that in our journeys of recovery, or our journeys in general as human beings, as emotional thinking beings, we go through periods of time when we struggle, and the Bible gives a lot of reassurance, a lot of hope, perhaps. I didn't know that as a statistic, so thanks for sharing that. I should look into that. Yeah, that's good.
That's like my favorite one. I love that one.
That's good. What do you think, though? I mean, there is a lot of people out there who might even criticize the idea that spirituality, religiosity, Christianity per se, the Bible is just full of fabs in some ways. What do you think the greatest criticism of Christianity is on mental health issues? I would like to maybe make a point of reference here. Like I mentioned, I have looked at your blog, and I was looking at some of them and the other night preparing for the interview, and I recall something that I read before as well. And you mentioned you were going through a period of a struggle. I don't think in your Christianity, but definitely in your church experience. Do you think that sometimes our beliefs as Christians can be an enemy to our own mental health? I don't know. What is your perception?
So, yes, I did go through a hard time, like at my church. And at the time, I was kind of drifting away from Christianity. Right. And I was like questioning everything. And especially with the mental health, I was like, shouldn't be worrying. Like, you're supposed to put all your anxieties on God. And I was like, if I'm not doing that, then is that bad? Like, things like that. And I was just thinking, like, God always wants us to love ourselves and everything like that. And I wasn't doing that. So I was always consumed with the fact that he won't accept me because I wasn't following everything that he was saying with that. So that was always my fear then too. And just people, like I was having trouble at the church. So then I was like, is this a sign? Like he doesn't love me and all this. And I was struggling with that whole concept.
Right.
But in the end, I think everything, all your doubts that God had, like all your doubts that you have for God ends up bringing you closer to him in the long run, because I ended up figuring all that out. And I just realized, you know, he loves you no matter what. And he knows people have problems. And he literally like makes us this way. He knows that things are going to happen like that. And everyone has some type of struggle in their lives they're going to face. And I think like, I'm with the church, like the church is like a group of people that love him, but it doesn't reflect his love for us. It can, like, everyone can be loving and everything, but I know a lot of people haven't had good experiences at church, and that is not reflective of God's love. And
So what I'm hearing is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm hearing that sometimes because of who we are, human beings, we come to churches with our own vulnerabilities, with our own baggage, and sometimes we can mess up our personal relationships with each other, but that's not necessarily reflective of God. That makes a lot of sense.
We're all imperfect.
That makes sense. I suppose if we were all perfect, if we all didn't come with something, maybe we could query the idea. We could question the idea of being there in the first place. What do you come to a place? I always like that analogy of thinking of church as a bit of a hospital where we all come with something. And So
I like that.
Here's a, I don't know, maybe a hard question. All right. But
okay.
Somebody, one of our listeners on Instagram, ask a very specific question about anxiety. And I know that you have gone through some of these things. So the question was somewhere around the lines of, can you be a Christian and be anxious? And let me further that a bit down around the idea of Christianity. Let me just maybe reword it for the sake of maybe other people who think this way. I've heard it before too. Can you be a good Christian and still experience anxiety? What are your thoughts?
I totally think you can, because it kind of goes with past things that I said earlier. But also that since he says, like, do not fear so many times, it's that kind of reassurance. Like, he knows people are going to fear and be anxious and all that. And it goes with, like, the brain chemistry, too, because a lot of it, once I thought about it, I was like, he literally, you know, there's the neurotransmitters that are off, and I don't know the exact biology of it, but it's literally the chemistry that he made us to be. And I feel like he made us that way for a reason. And we can always put our trust in him when we have all these mental health issues. But reaching out to others and everything is totally okay. And a lot of people I know that are Christians have struggled with their mental health and anxiety and everything. And I think those two aren't like, they are connected in a way, but like they're not like contradictory of each other. So if you have anxiety, you can't be a Christian, or if you're a Christian, you can't, like, it's not like that. You can totally have both and still be a good Christian and trust in God.
I like it. I think what I'm hearing is we're human beings, and God created us to have emotions, to have these neurotransmitters you're talking about. We're not made out of wood or steel. We feel, we're emotional human beings that can relate to each
other.
Yeah,
we're not happy all the time. We're not all these like perfect.
right. Which could lead us to think, I mean, thinking about that happiness idea, we're not always perfect or at all, ever. We can also even expand this idea of anxiety to other areas of mental health, like, you can be a Christian and also have some struggle with some depression, for example, not only anxiety. I really enjoy what you said there at the beginning after this question, which was, you know, the Bible talks about all of these ideas of do not be fearful, and or in your fears, I'm going to help you. In your fears, I'm going to give you reassurance, because the mere fact that that is in the Bible tells us that, hey, God knew, God knows that we're going to be going through these struggles, doesn't he? So by default, you can be a Christian and be anxious, and it's part of the normality of life and living. There's this, I think a lot of the texts that I recall from that talk about anxiety or worry or fear are a lot of them that I personally know are in the book of Psalms, right? And David, they're talking about, you know, in my fears, I seek you. I put all my fears to you. I pray to you and you take away my fears. And one, and some people, I have observed well-meant people, sincere Christians who believe, hey, you know, David says you pray, and if you pray, God takes away your fears. And that is true. But then you see him in another psalm later on in his life talking again about his fears and his anxieties and his worries. So it wasn't like, hey, you know, I prayed and I'm cured. It was, I pray and you help me in that moment, in that situation. And then in another time, something else happened and it took the best out of me again. And I had to pray again and I had to find comfort from God and from perhaps other things. Tell us a bit about your journey, about your mental health journey. I mean, for anybody who is listening and who is watching, I highly recommend you to go to the blog, even also watch some of the videos from Alyssa in her YouTube channel when she has talked about her recovery. But just if you were to give us a summary in a way, what has been your journey like as a Christian? You mentioned a little bit about it already, but as a Christian in your journey with mental health, what is it like for you then? And what is it like for you now, perhaps?
Okay, so, well, I started off having a lot of signs of OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder. Right. And so it was started when I was really little. I don't remember the exact age, but I had no idea like what it was. So I just knew it was different and I thought it was just like some weird things I did. So I just never told anyone. So I had that all the way up until... well, I still have it, but nobody knew about it until 9th or 10th grade because one of my teachers actually noticed I was showing signs of it in class and she talked to me about it.
Right.
So I'll come back to that later. Okay. And then once I've always been like that shy kid, and in high school it got like a lot worse. And so I started, like, I couldn't do anything, like, class presentations. I couldn't do, like, I don't know. Like, I can never be doing the things I am now with, like, speeches and stuff like that and just talking to people. And so that got a lot worse. And, of course, that was really noticeable at school. Mm-hmm. And I started just having, like, a bunch of anxiety about tests and exams. And I was, like, a straight-A student like all the time. And so in high school, when things got harder, you know, it's harder to get all the A's.
Right.
And so I started having trouble in some classes and I was like, I'm not going to get an A. So then that kind of spiraled down until I just started like failing every single test.
Oh, wow.
And I got so nervous that I would throw up before every single test and whatever I had that day. So finally one of my teachers ended up putting all the pieces together and she would talk to me about it. And for a while I had her hide it from my parents, but in 10th grade, but it started getting worse in 10th grade. I was struggling with depression and things got worse and worse until I just kind of was like, just reached out and the teacher called my parents and I started getting help. Right. And just within like a year of getting help, so many things like started getting better and like some of the pressure was taking off. And yeah.
Okay.
And I still struggle with most of those today, but things are so much better now. And I'm in a place where I can just be stable and
Right. So what I'm hearing is that it has been a bit of a long journey, and through it, many areas of your life actually suffered, like academically, maybe even in your relationships around socially, at school, friends, maybe even church. I mean, I know church because we talked about it before
that's been a problem.
Yeah. So, but you have been managed, but I'm hearing that things have started to get a little bit more manageable, a little bit better when you receive some help? What kind of help do you get? If somebody is out there that is going through this, what kind of help do you get?
So I started with just counseling.
Right.
And so I got help from that. And then it turned into, I didn't mention this, I also struggle with an eating disorder. Right. But that was kind of a short period.
Okay.
It just got like bad really quick. And then I got help. So I got help from a nutritionist. And then I went to a psychiatrist.
Right.
And yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. No, that's
fine. So I've done support groups and group therapy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has helped too.
Mm-hmm. Great. Do you ever feel that by you reaching out for help, once the help came your way through your teachers, through your parents, and with these professionals and support groups, do you ever feel that you were not being loyal to God, that you were not relying on God alone? Because, hey, you know, you're seeking other humans' help. Do you ever feel like that?
I mean, I mostly believe that God wants you to seek counsel from other people on things, and especially with your faith and everything. So that really wasn't a big worry of mine. Mine was just that people would know. So I just hid it from everyone, and like they would judge me and stuff like that. But I never had a problem with speaking out in regards to, like having God not love me or anything, but I had that in the other areas that we talked about before.
Sure. So how did you transition? I mean, here we are, you're talking to a guy sitting on the other side of the world, openly about this. And I know that you have spoken about this before as well. And you have your blog, you have your YouTube, we have mentioned that. You coming from, you don't want anybody to know, to, hey, you know, I wouldn't say you want the world to know, but in a way, you're being very open and honest about this. How did you transition from there, from there to now? How come?
So I told you before that I started having symptoms at a young age, and I had no idea what it was. I probably didn't even, like, I looked up stuff as I was older and kind of realized, but just hit it. And that was probably years and like maybe 7 or 8 years after I started having the symptoms. So I wish as a kid I'd known like it was okay to reach out. And even as I got over, I got older and realized what it was. And there's just such a big stigma around it that I was always like, just I didn't want anyone to know, didn't want to talk about it, didn't want to do any of this. I didn't want to go to therapy at first. I didn't want to do any of that. But I just kind of want to help the people who were kind of in my situation before. That's what started this whole thing. I just wanted people to know that it's okay to reach out and inform. Like now it's just also encouraging people who have it, even if they have reached out. And then it turned into just like helping a bunch of people. And I've talked to even like parents, and like I have a lot of parents on there so they can realize like how to detect it in their kid, and like the kids hopefully are encouraged to reach out because their parents at that age are their supporter and can get them help. And yeah, so I just want to use how I struggled as a kid and no one knew. And I just came really passionate once I got, like, things got so much better in a short, like, time span. And of course, there are periods where I go down. And, but for the most part, like, it was just really eye opening. And I want people to be able to experience the same thing and not go through it for years without getting help.
That's great. That's amazing. And thank I lost you there. Thank you for that. Like I mentioned before, I appreciate it from being on the other side of things that you're doing this, and it helped people like me understand a lot better what you go through as well, and that we all struggle. It doesn't matter where you sit, really. I guess I'm gonna give you a hard question.
Okay.
I want Oh, I lost you again. I think it will be a little bit hard in the sense of it will be probably unfair, but let's give it a go. What do you think would be, if you were to single out one thing that helped you practically, at the practical level, what do you think would be the one thing that you think, you know, without this part, I wouldn't have been able to be where I am now in my journey, in my recovery? What do you think that would be?
That is hard. I think, well, okay. I think having people who understood, like, what it looks like and are understanding about, because a lot of people don't know about mental health if they don't experience it. Right. And they, like, there's people out there who are like, that's made up. And it's good for people to understand it and be understanding for you and be able to talk to you. And that whole thing with my teacher, she reached out to me because I was too afraid to reach out. And once she started reaching out to me, I was able to talk to her and tell her when I was struggling and everything. And I think it really helps if, like, people are afraid, like, oh, we know she's struggling, but we don't want to, like, say anything. But I think people should speak out more because they just might be afraid to talk to someone themselves.
Right.
And then once I got the help, I kind of have two answers. Once I got the help, it's really good to start meeting people who also struggle and see their perspective on everything. And that's kind of what I've gotten from the blog too. I've met so many amazing people, and also the support groups and group counseling and everything has really helped, because you see you're not alone, because I thought I was alone for so many years. And you see that other people struggle too, and you're able to encourage them and be held accountable for everything. And yeah, you just learn from them. And yeah.
I love it. I love it because every, I mean, you didn't say one thing, but I can narrow it down to one thing in everything you said. You talk about your teachers, you talk about the group therapy, you talk about the people that you have been able to meet through the blog and other people sharing their experiences with you and vice versa. The one common denominator was relationships with people who are understanding, empathic, that they show some compassion, some empathy. People not who are feeling sorry for you, but rather they are willing to listen to your story and be there. There to support you. That thing.
I don't know. One of my favorite.
Yeah.
One of my favorite videos is, I don't know if you've seen it, but Brené Brown has a video, and it's like these two animals. I always get the animals wrong.
Okay.
But one of them's like having a hard time. I'll just show you the link because it's hard to explain. But it's the difference between sympathy and empathy.
Right.
And sympathy is like one of the animals goes down into a hole where he's having a hard time, and the sympathy guy is just like, oh, sorry, and waves to him. But the other one who shows empathy goes down and is actually with him and just hugs him and tells him, like, I get you, like, what you're talking about, and I'm always here and everything like that. And I think that's really important. I love that video.
Right. I think I know which one you're talking about now that you mentioned the whole idea of the two animals and the difference between sympathy and empathy. Yeah, it's a good one. And that's what we all really thrive by, I think. When you think about it, you don't want somebody to feel sorry for you. Rather, you want somebody who can be there with you, embrace you, and perhaps even go through this journey together. In one way or another. And that's, I think that's what your teachers did, and your parents will have played a role into this. And once they got to know, and the group, the therapy group, you know, all the people there who, you know, hey, they understand me. They have been through similar things, or perhaps different, but yet they've been going through a journey of recovery too. Right. As we are, I guess, landing our time together, Alyssa, what would be the one or many more than one, I'll make it fairer, whatever you think, it doesn't have to be one. What would you tell somebody out there who is struggling like you are? It could be OCD, it could be depression, it could be anxiety, who is having some struggles and they notice that there are some things that are different, but they don't want to share it. Maybe like you in the past were scared to see it or scared to be judged. What would you tell somebody who is still not receiving any support, any help, nothing? They're still having the struggles or the symptoms of a mental health illness. What would you say?
Well, I know the answer to that. Okay. I would tell them to reach out, but I know it's not that easy. But also, I was just afraid of like what people would think, and I wasn't sure like my parents' stance on it and everything. But honestly, once my parents found out, they were super supportive and helped me get better in any way. And I think I would tell them that if they're afraid about their parents, then they, your parents love you, and no matter what, they just want to see you happy. And I think they would go through anything to help you. And if they don't, just go to anybody else and just keep going to people. And finally, you're going to find someone who's willing to help you and fight for what you need.
I love it. Thank you so much, Alyssa. So for everybody who is listening to this, I agree with Alyssa. Let us remember that people out there do care for us, do love us. It's hard to find out or reach out for some support. It will be for the best. It will be beneficial. And Alyssa is going on through her recovery, and she's a very good example of somebody who, from point A of not wanting to tell anybody to point B, it's a big leap. Now, let me ask you something. I know I was saying we landed, and we are. This is something that is a curiosity of mine. I mean, your blog is called the Running Toward Recovery blog, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen some of your photos on Instagram, and in some of them you are literally running some kind of race of some sort. Is this related, or is it just coincidental? Is there a pun intended there? What's going on?
So I am not really good at thinking of like names and like cool stuff like that. So like one day I was like trying to think, and I was like, road to recovery, I don't know, and that was already taken, and like so many things were already taken.
Okay.
And like I was really into running at that point, and I was like, oh, I'm running toward recovery. And I was like I'll change it later if I don't like it. But then it started like growing, and I was like, well, now I can't change it. But I've actually started, it's grown on me, because at first I was like, I'll just change it later. But it's grown on me, because it really shows, I think it shows more of like you're actively seeking recovery and like running toward it. You're not just like looking at it or like walking away from it. You're like actively seeking recovery. And that was kind of what I was going for. But I'm also a runner, so
nice.
I do run. So that's just kind of on the side. And a lot of people ask if I run. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I do run, but it's not like, that's not the reason it's called that.
Okay. So it was a coincidental right, great. Oh, well, great to clarify. Thank you for clarifying that. So if people want to follow you, if people want to have a chat with you, if maybe some people who are listening, some of our audience or yours, they are listening and saying, hey, you know, I'm going through something similar or whatever, and I would like to talk to somebody who will understand me, and maybe I could talk to Alyssa, would you be happy for people to contact you?
Yes, I've had a lot of people, like there's so many people out there who are struggling and you have no idea. And once I started giving my blog out like to people I knew, because at first I kept it like to just random people on the internet that I'll never see. But then I opened it to people who like actually know, and I got a lot of responses back saying that they struggle or someone they know struggles and like seeking advice. And I think that really shows like you never know what someone's going through, and I'm totally open to talking to anyone if they are struggling and just want advice or just want to talk to someone.
Okay, great. So how can people find you? Can you tell us your media accounts that are open for us?
So the Instagram is at Running Toward Recovery blog. And then the website is www.runningtowardrecovery. I don't think it has a blog at the end.
Okay.
And then, yeah, and the YouTube account should be linked on, everything's linked on the Instagram. It's like a link tree, and then you can see the blog and the website.
Okay.
But if you just look up Alyssa Goodyear, it should come up on YouTube.
Okay, excellent. And what I will do, I will put on our description of this interview on the podcast, I will put Alyssa's account so you can follow her and you can ask if you want to, and you can follow her journey of running towards recovery. So thank you so much, Alyssa. I really appreciate you taking the time and an opportunity to be able to chat about this important matter, which is mental health.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I'm very, very pleased. I would like to finish with something. I would like to finish with a quote. Oh, cheers. I would like to finish with a quote. Okay. I usually finish this podcast. Those of you who listen to the actual podcast, you will know that I encourage people to love God despite of anything that happens. My idea is let us choose. It's a choice. Let us choose to love God. But today, I would like to finish with a quote from Alyssa Goodyear, who says the following. it's very.
I lost you there. I can't hear you.
Hello. Yeah, I lost myself too. I'm back.
Okay, there you go.
So it says this: Everything happens for a reason. It may not be exactly what you expect, but God loves us unconditionally, and I can put my trust in Him, knowing that whatever happens next is all in the plan that He sets out for my life. So I hope that you take that quote as something that you can experience yourself in your life as you listen to this beautiful interview and journey of recovery of Alyssa. Thank you so much. Until next time, we'll catch you later. And hello to all the followers from Alyssa too in the YouTube channel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Remember to subscribe to this podcast, like it, share it, hashtag it, comment, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Tumblr as Adventist Reflections. God bless you.